Luke chapter 3, verse 15. As the people were in expectation, I might not even get past four words this morning. The people, how many know that's an ingredient for you to receive anything from the Lord? Expectant faith. Maybe the reason you don't have a personal revival is because you don't expect one. Or maybe you're content to live without one. But I believe God is here. And I believe His presence is here to meet your need. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the promises you shall be filled. And the people of God, John the Baptist was baptizing believers with repentance. You understand? They were being born again. They were being born into the kingdom. But John, now Jesus is coming up. The people ask, and they were in expectation, and they reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. They were expecting the Messiah. It was prophesied. I said, if it's prophesied, how many believe it's going to come to pass? So it was prophesied, and they've been waiting and waiting, and they thought maybe John's the one. He's got great crowds. He's preaching, prepare ye the way of the Lord. How many know he's a voice crying in the wilderness? We need a few more voices crying in the wilderness. If you don't say amen, I'm not going to preach. We need a few more voices saying, thus saith the Lord. That the promises of God's word are true. And you can wait in expectation. So they were waiting on Messiah. I thought maybe John was the one. But here's John's answer, saying to all, I baptize you with water. But there's one coming mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to loose. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, man, I don't know. Holy Spirit seems good enough for me, but he added fire. So it must have been a Pentecostal church, I guess. Must have been. That's the word of the Lord. Let's look at the next slide. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He's lighting a fire, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff, he will burn with unquenchable fire. Here's the point of that text. Fire is coming. Unquenchable fire or unquenchable fire? The fire of God or another fire? How many know two fires, one choice? I don't know what you came today, but I came to receive the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God in my life, and this is what's going on. Next slide, please. We'll do another verse. Jude, only one chapter, verse 20, one of pastor's favorites. I've got a lot of favorite verses, but this is one of my favorite. But you, talking to you, the church. I mean, you know, the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection. 40 days the Lord walked on the earth in a spirit body, walking through walls, meeting people. Over 500 people saw him. I mean, oh, he is alive. Living proof, many testified. But on his last day, before he was ascended in Acts 1:8, you know, he told them the Great Commission, which he already reinstated to us today. You are light bearers. You're supposed to be sharing the gospel of good news, amen, to a lost world. So he told us to go and make disciples, and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. And when he was going up, two angels stood by him in Acts chapter 1, and they said, hey, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing like you don't understand what's going on? This same Jesus. Woo! I mean, no, Jesus is still Jesus. Hey, the Jesus that left is the same Jesus that's coming back. And he never really left. He just came and sent the Holy Spirit, his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. He sent the Holy Spirit, right? Tagged out. It's his turn. And he said, before you, in Luke 24, 49, he said, before I leave, I want you to know something. I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to pray. And I want you to wait. And I want you to praise. And I want you to worship. I mean, no, prayer takes on a lot of facets. There's lots of facets, lots of different ways to express yourself to God. Prayer is bigger than just praying your needs be met. I mean, no, Jesus is not a Santa Claus. He's more than just meeting your need. I mean, no, he's everything we need. He's wanting to be with us. He was with us in body, but now he's with us in us. He was with us, but now he's going to be in us. So they waited and they prayed for 10 days. Can you imagine, Oak Grove, what would happen if we just didn't do anything for the next 10 days except pray and worship and seek God's face? I mean, no, we wouldn't be worried about programs or problems. I mean, how many know we'd be in the presence of the Lord? 10 days, no telling what could happen, but that's what happened. And so here's the body of Christ, you beloved, building yourselves up. Somebody shout yourself. See, God didn't call me to be responsible for your personal revival. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, no, there's individual responsibility and there's corporate responsibility. The church comes alongside, but the Holy Spirit is in you to lead you, guide you, teach you all things, right? And we're going to get into it today. How many is ready to get into the Word? But look what Jude is saying. Here's what he's saying. You, beloved, you, the church, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. How can I do that, Pastor Ron? Let's keep reading. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Huge. Prayer is the avenue by which God meets with you. He wants to be with you. Not only does he want to be with you only, he wants to be in you. How close can God get? So he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. And he adds, keep yourselves. Somebody shout yourselves. Yourselves, personal responsibility. Keep yourselves in the love of God. In the love of God. I tell you, that moves me. I don't have time to get on it because it's not my topic. But I am my beloved's, and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. He loves me, and I love him. Me and the Lord, or we're together. I said, I love Jesus. How about you? Don't make me out to be a cheerleader. I got spirit. Yes, I do. I got spirit. How about you? Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go. I love Jesus. You love Jesus. We have a purpose. And what is it? What is it? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Ron and Melissa are called to this house with this team to serve this church, to make certain that we as a church help you get to eternal life, to your eternal destiny. If you don't make it, we failed. But if you have some, we have some responsibility, but how many know the Holy Spirit is there for you? If God didn't send us, he sent his Holy Spirit. That's what this Pentecostal walk is all about. And I want to talk about one more text. I think we have one more text. It's Acts chapter 2, if you don't mind putting that up there. And we will read that, or I'll read it without you, one or the other. Let's see what's happening. Yoo-hoo! Bless the Lord. It's not up there. God bless America. Might be my fault. Let's just go to Acts chapter 2. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. There's a crisis in America. It's a Pentecostal crisis. In the American church, we have, well, I don't know, Leonard Ravenhill said the reason we don't have Spirit-oriented revival in our day is because the church is content to live without it. We're just content to live without it. We don't really need the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, the people who are experiencing revival, who are experiencing powerful moves of God, are those who need him. Those who understand who he is and what he's doing. And so the Holy Spirit has purpose. He's been prophesied. He is a person. He is not just a denomination. He is not just an experience. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He's real. He's just as real as Jesus. And I think we can't see him. John 3 says, the wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't really tell where it's coming from. Can I tell you? You don't maybe can't see him. You maybe can't hear him. But I mean, oh, he's just as real today as Jesus was for 33 and a half years walking on the earth. And eternally in existence, both God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How many know they're all three in one? But there's a crisis in our nation, and I think we're in danger of losing the language of the Spirit. The language. And I'm not talking about just speaking in an unknown tongue. There is glossolalia. There is a language from heaven. There is a language in the Spirit, the unknown tongue. But how many know many people in the church have gotten hung by the tongue? And they have felt uncomfortable with tongues. They feel like maybe there's no purpose in speaking in tongues. Can I tell you, I believe they just don't know the benefit of the Holy Spirit. They don't know the benefit. And so today, Pastor's going to take you on a journey so that we can help this generation to know it's imperative that the next generation hear preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Imperative. And on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to bring some clarity. Some of you who maybe not fully understood the baptism of the Spirit, especially speaking in the unknown tongue, called praying in the Spirit. But more than that, we are to live in the Spirit. So we have this issue. We're all been born in the flesh. If you haven't been privy to the idea that you have flesh, all I have to do is ask your kinfolks. I can ask your kids and your spouse, they'll tell me how much flesh you have. How many know we all have flesh to contend with? Not only do we have flesh to contend with, we also have the devil to contend with. How many know the enemy, the thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy? But the good news is Jesus came to give you life and life, abundant life, which means life on top of life, the Spirit-filled life. And so, the first thing I think you need is a precious promise is real. It's been prophesied. It's been promised. And understanding that it is for you. And it is awesome benefit to believers to experience the fullness of the Spirit. There is no qualification necessary. One prerequisite. One, you must be born again. I mean, no, you must be born again. The Romans says that carnal mind cannot even understand the things of the Spirit. Before I was born again, I had no idea. I heard about God. I heard about Jesus. I knew he died on the cross. I thought it was something religious, and it was so deeply true. But there was no relationship. I mean, without a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit can't regenerate you. But when you get born again, I mean, he comes and lives in you. He comes and invades that darkness, and he brings a spirit nature. Now you have the dichotomy. I have the flesh nature and the spirit nature. Are you with me? And they war with each other. Paul said they are at war with each other. My flesh, when I wake up, wants to have its way. And I have to crucify the flesh. I have to put to death the things, the deeds of the flesh. That's personal responsibility. I mean, no, that's a personal responsibility. Hey, beloved. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Hey, beloved, pray in the Spirit. Build yourself up. If you're always codependent upon somebody else, you're missing an opportunity to have a relationship with the third person of the Godhead. He's here. He's with us. He's in us. I mean, when you follow the fire of God all the way back from the beginning of Genesis, we don't have time, but I would suggest you do a little study personal on the fire of God, which represents the Holy Spirit. You would go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God put them out. Why? Because death is not the cessation of life. Death means separation. The wages of sin is death. Means you're out of here. No longer are you in the presence of the Lord, because sin does not welcome in the presence of the Lord. That's why he came to redeem us. Is anybody glad for what Jesus did on Calvary? I'm here to preach to somebody. What Calvary did was to lead us to Pentecost. And Pentecost always takes us back to Calvary. You can't have one without the other. You're born again, and then there's a subsequent relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, after you're born again. Now you're clean. Now you're purified. Now you're born again. And now you yield your spirit, body, soul, mind to the Holy Spirit. And he comes in and transforms us. Woo, it's a good thing. I said it's a good thing. It's a progressive thing. Yes, it's instant. Yes, we're in positionally with Christ, but there's also progression. I got to deal with this flesh. You have to deal with your flesh. I have to deal with your flesh. Say amen. And so it's precious. But you have to deal with my flesh. But there's no qualifications, only a prerequisite, salvation. And if you receive Jesus by faith and you hunger for more of him, then all you have to do is allow him, right? Open up your heart, yield to your spirit to him, and welcome him in your life and receive the promised gift with joy. But first, there's expectation. They were waiting on Messiah, just like in the upper room, they were waiting on the Holy Spirit promise, the promise of the Father. God the Father is the one that promised. God the Son is the one that provided the sacrifice. And God the Holy Spirit is the one that came the provision so that we can progressively grow in God. Not individually only. We are personally responsible for our salvation. But in the church, how many know the Holy Spirit wants to use us? I said the Holy Spirit makes me we. I need you to help me. We are. I need you. You need me. We're one body, but many members. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. You have the Holy Spirit. He gives you personal gifts, but he also can use you in corporate gifting so that we together can reach Greene County. There's a purpose in Pentecost. Pentecost means harvest. It's harvest time. I said it's harvest time. If you lose the purpose of Pentecost, it's not just to speak in tongues. It's a wonderful blessing. It's nothing to be shunned. It's nothing to be put away in the back room somewhere because you're embarrassed. How many know he's not here to embarrass you? He's in here to empower you. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Keep going. I feel like you're going somewhere. But basically, it's a request for more of God. Expectation is the key. Jesus, I want more of you, more of your spirit, more of your wisdom, more of your love, more of your power. I want more. Let's see if there's any more slides. Is that all the slides I had? Was there any more? That was it, huh? Let's check it out. Hey, hey, hey. They were sitting in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. They're standing right here, but tongues of fire stood up on each one of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. As the Spirit gave the utterance. Lots of foolishness in Pentecostal circles where you can teach people how to speak in tongues. How many know that is not something intellectually learned, but supernaturally given. It's by the Spirit he disperses not only the tongue to them in that first baptism, but also is dispersing gifts. He's dispersing gifts in the body for a purpose. Harvest means souls, harvesting souls. That's the Great Commission. That's the purpose. Empower the saints of God to bring light in a dark world. It's not just for you to feel good. I hope you feel good. I hope you get goosebumps. I don't care if you break out in a run or a Jericho march. What I want to know is when you finally sit down, are you going to behave yourself? So the baptism has to be followed by behavior. There has to be a behavior modification. It's not just behavior modification, but you ought to be able to see it. If he's in you, you ought to be able to see a difference. And there's been a facade. There's been a church who's claiming to be Pentecostal, but living like they're the devil. So perhaps you've spoken in your spiritual language once or twice in your lifetime. You didn't know, but for any reason, you quit speaking. You didn't continue. May God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and God the Son create in you a hunger today for more intimacy with God. I mean, if you don't get anything else out of this message, may God give you an intimacy. A hunger for more. Pastor, there's more. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God has in store for you. There's so much more. I said there's so much more. My God wants to give. And so the Spirit wants to bless you with more wisdom, more creativity, more giftings. And there is an expectation. So when God gets ready to move, he's looking for those with desire, with faith, with expectation. I think we should be expecting miracles. We should be expecting outpourings. We should be expecting seasons of refreshing in the times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. How many know we should expect that? I said what happened this morning should be the norm in the Assembly of God Church, not a rarity. So because expectation is an attitude of faith in God for the impossible, I still believe in the power of God. Amen? I believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our church. And if you're born again, there's nothing that stands in your way. Believe and you shall receive, right? It's a major part of receiving is believing. You have to expect it. You have to expect it. He's not going to jump on you, surprise you. He's a very much a gentleman. He's not going to take your tongue and rattle it in your mouth. It's his spirit, but it's your tongue. There's sort of a cooperation here. There's some sort of a combining here of my natural man and his supernatural spirit is going to come together, and therefore the outcome is going to be an expression of the overflowing infilling of the Spirit. It's real, and it's not just vocal. How many know it's inward? There ought to be an outward sign to an inward witness. Do you know that speaking in tongues is one of the only outward signs of spiritual maturity? Tithing is another one. Somebody shout amen now. But the fruit of the Spirit is another one. We'll get to that. How many thinks the fruit is just as powerful as the gifts? But I believe in all nine fruit, and I believe in all nine gifts. I believe you can have all nine. You can have 18. Somebody shout amen. If you are, you're closer to Jesus than you think. But you got to expect it. Then you got to engage in powerful prayer language. You got to express your praise. Let's look at that. You got this language of praise. It's a language of praise. Prayer is a language of praise. If the only time you talk to God in a praiseworthy way is asking for requests, then you're missing moments in the presence of the Lord. Praise is expectation. And when God hears it, there's no telling what he'll do for you. When the praise goes up, somebody help me, the glory comes down. So the Lord is expecting praise from you. And personality has nothing to do with you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm very quiet and I'm introverted and I'm so shy and I don't even talk. Well, I've seen you out in the football game and you didn't seem to be introverted then. I see some mamas on the cage, you know, behind the cage, behind the catcher's mitt, screaming at the umpire, kicking the cage. Emotions, throwing the bat. That's my little Johnny. He's not out. He's safe. Where did your emotions come from then? How about, sir, I take your brand new rod and reel and crack it in half. I bet you I'll show you some emotions come out then. Take your wife's china and throw it on the glass floor and see if it breaks. See if she has any emotions then. I mean, no, you praise what you want to praise. And you praise when you want to praise. And you pray when you want to pray, and you pray how you want to pray. But many of the people in the church today pray self-centered. God, give me prayer. And if they didn't have a need, they didn't even talk to God. How do you think that makes God feel? He wants more than to meet all your needs. He will. How many know Philippians says God shall provide all your needs through Jesus Christ? He's going to provide those needs. But the Holy Spirit's coming to lift up Jesus in your life. The Holy Spirit's coming to make you more like Jesus. So you'll be a pleasant person to the world, not another fleshly person running around who is just ready to bust at any moment. I was telling somebody in my class this morning, I took the van and the trailer, I pulled out of the parking lot and back into the parking lot, and somebody blew the horn. I was like, how much did I do? Really, did you wake up that disturbed that you were so far off, but you thought you were closer than you were, so you had to blow the horn at the church van and the pastor? Because you're so wound up that you can't relax. I mean, oh, somebody needs to chill out a little bit. This world's got all their emotions on their shoulder. I mean, oh, we got to chill out a little bit. Bring it down a notch. I said, bam, bring it down a notch. Emerald says, bam, step it up a notch. But Pastor Ron said, bam, bring it down a notch. God's Holy Spirit's here to invite you into engagement in the prayer and praise. What else does he want to do? Let's look at the language of prayer. Prayer and praise are very similar. And you got to learn how to go from one dimension of prayer, maybe to another dimension of prayer, which I think is praise. In fact, I would take the Lord's Prayer as a model. So our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Can I tell you what? That's not prayer. He's not asking for anything. That's praise. He came into the presence of the Lord saying, Father, it's you. I know who you are. I know where you are. I know what you're about. I just came to the mountainside, Jesus said, to be with my Father. Imagine if you just went to God's presence just to be with God. Man, generosity, giving God your time, the Lord loves to respond to generosity. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. Solomon made, at the dedication of the temple, one of the most incredible offerings had ever been done, billions of dollars in today's currency. I mean, he sacrificed thousands of bulls and lambs and goats and oil and just unbelievable amount that he put into the offering to God on that day of the dedication. And when he did, Pastor Brent, when he did, God gave him a blank check. Hey, I saw your generosity, Solomon. Whatever you want, I'll give to you. He moved God into responding to his generosity. Here's what I think the church is missing. The church doesn't think God wants to bless you. How many know you're dead wrong? God wakes up waiting for you to get up. In fact, God don't wake up because God doesn't sleep. The Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's not lazy. He's not sluggish. He don't slumber. He knows where you are, what you're doing at every given moment. And while you're sleeping this morning, he was doodling, making the sunrise, waiting for the apex of his creation to get up. He's waiting on you to get up. And as soon as your eyes open, he's saying, there's my servant. How can I bless him? But if you don't want to be with him, I call that, I don't know, grieving the presence of the Lord, grieving the Spirit of the Lord. You just told him in so many lack of words, I don't really want to be with you. So every time you come to God in prayer, you have expectation. But if your expectation is for God just to meet your needs, you're missing the reality of the Spirit of God. It has to be more to a relationship than always taking, taking, taking. How about some giving, giving, giving? Amen? So what does the Spirit want to do in you? Well, he wants to invite you and invade your life. He not only invites you in to come to Jesus, but he invites you because the Holy Spirit, you can't even come to Jesus unless the Spirit draw you. I mean, oh, he comes to convict and convert. He comes to judge the world, reprove the world from sin. He comes to convict. I mean, oh, that's a lost word in the church today, conviction. We don't like that because we don't want to be accountable. But listen, whether you like it or not, he's trying to save your life. So I'm already saved. Yeah, but how long will you be saved if you don't listen to the sensitivity and the voice of the Spirit that's telling you don't go that way? If you go that way, there's consequences. He's trying to help you stay on the straight and narrow, but you have to cooperate. He's invading your space. I know you don't like it. But invade is a military term, like warfare. He wants to equip you for battle. We are in a war. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. How many know he will illuminate the Word of God in your life? That's one thing the Holy Spirit does. He illuminates the Word. Have you ever been reading the Bible in a mechanical kind of way? But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up and lights up the page. Something you read 1,000 times just jumped off the page. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit illumination. That means when you read your Bible, he was with you. See, it's one thing to read a book, just any old book. It's another to read the book of life. How many know this book is alive? I'm not preaching a dead book. And I'm not preaching to a dead church. Amen. I needed that amen right there, right then. So praying in the Spirit is a resource personally, powerfully, to not only engage you in speaking to God and listening to God, but you begin to pray in an unknown language, you're praying the exact will of God. In other words, your flesh ceased, You went from one dimension to the flesh to another dimension to the spirit. And when you get in the spiritual dimension, how many know you are spot on with what God wants from you? Anybody believe that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. So he is able to take you from this dimension to another dimension. That's how it happens. And you're talking not in language that's intelligible languages, right? That you learned, that you can articulate, that you can teach, but you're speaking in unknown tongue, which is glorifying God. And even your worship goes to another level. How many like to see your worship go to another level? You start learning how to engage in spiritual language, being refreshed by the Spirit, full of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And so he wants to prevent you and protect you from falling prey to the enemy and his lies. That's what Jude was saying. Later on in Jude, over there after 20, he says, and he is able to keep you from falling. His goal is to make sure, you understand, Jesus paid the price and the penalty for sin. The Holy Spirit is the friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom went home to prepare a place for you to go and be with him. Is anybody hearing this today? But while he's out preparing for the bride to come and get her, the Holy Spirit, his friend, the paraclete, has come to keep an eye on you, to guard you, protect you, guide you, lead you, illuminate the word to you, convict you. Hey, my attitude wasn't good this morning. And you get a check from the Spirit. Let me tell you, every time you turn off that sensitivity, you're in danger of moving away and moving away and moving away. You know, when you're close to the fireplace, you stay warm, but the more you move away from the fire, the colder your heart's going to get. Amen? Same thing with your ears. Your ears can't hear because you've dull of hearing. You're moving away because sin separates. Sin separates. The first fire was over there in the Garden of Eden. The fire, right? Flaming sword at the east side. It's the first sign of the Shekinah glory of God. And you can follow that. Keep on following that. Abraham in Genesis 15. Where the presence of God, the fire, the torch and the smoking furnace, God, the theophany, God was there making covenant with Abraham. And you keep on going. You see Ezekiel. Oh, how awful. How awful to see the glory of the Lord that was in the wilderness over the temple, over the tabernacle. And now the glory of the Lord, Ezekiel said, has departed. And they wrote Ichabod. No glory. Kabod, glory. Ichabod, no glory. And I believe if something doesn't change, I said if the American church doesn't get back to preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit and teaching a generation how wonderful the Pentecostal message is, how powerful to help us propagate the gospel, we need the Holy Spirit. I said we need him, because if we don't, just like Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord will depart. And how many years did he go back? You know when he came back? In a nativity. When the star, a flaming sun burst, lowered over Bethlehem's stable. That is the Shekinah glory of God, because it wasn't just like any old star. How many know if it was a real star, it would have burned the stable and everybody in it? Ball of gas and fire. But God supernaturally led the wise men all the way, just like the Holy Spirit is wanting to lead you and me all the way. And you go on, you can find that fire all the way through. Many times God's people make a sacrifice to God, and his approval of that sacrifice, his acceptance of that sacrifice was sending fire. And the fire would come down, just like last week at Elijah at Mount Carmel. A fire came down and licked up the sacrifice. God was saying, hey, buddy, I'm proud of you. And just like when Jesus was at the baptism with John and the heavens opened, said, this is my son. I approve of this one. And he's saying right now, this is my church. Oak Grove Assembly of God, you are his church. And he wants to send the fire so he can make up. Make sure you understand, he approves. He sends his Spirit the gifts ought to be operating in the church today. It's not occasional. It's not like optional. We have to have supernatural wisdom. When we're praying in the altars, we don't know what your issue is, but when we pray in the Spirit and we begin to lay hands on you, how many know God can do something supernatural? But there has to be some expectancy, and so many people today would rather live without him than to pray him in. So praying in the Spirit, it is a resource, personally, powerfully, and corporately, and to keep us from falling prey to the enemy and his lies. Ephesians 1:13 says, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. It's a promise. And when you're in Christ, the friend of the bridegroom comes to help you and to prevent you from giving in to Satan's lies. And Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. This is what he's saying. Stay close to Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Do you know one of the top priorities, the Holy Spirit's job description, is to get you to fall in love with Jesus? To make sure that he edifies and lifts up and magnifies Jesus in your life. But some people take Jesus as, a religious figure. I mean, no, Jesus is more than a religious figure. He's more than a little Jesus statue. He's more than a necklace around, a cross around your neck. How many know he's more than jewelry? He's more than a denomination or a religion. He's more than an experience of salvation. He is God. He's God, and he wants you. And just imagine whenever Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, they were kicked out of the presence of God. You understand that? And for eons of time, millenniums have gone by, and God's goal was to get that same intimacy he had in the garden. And how many know one of these days in the Revelation, when Jesus comes to get his church, we will be with him. Just like it was be restored, just like it was when we got. But until then, the Holy Spirit is here to come and be in us. You can just see him as he said, build the tabernacle, I will be with you. Build the temple, and my glory will be with you. The glory departed, remember? How awful, how awful. What would the church be without the glory of God? Without the present Shekinah glory of God? We wouldn't be in much, would we? We wouldn't have any power. We wouldn't have anything. He is the reason that we're living. He is the reason that we're one. He is the reason that we're able to do anything. Without him, we can do nothing. But you can see him as he moves closer and closer and closer. Till now, he's not just with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now he is God in us. How close can you get? He's here to invite you. He's here to instruct you. He wants to teach you all things. He's the paraclete. He's the counselor, the helper. According to John 14:26, the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus said. He will teach you all things, everything you need to know. And he will bring all things to your remembrance that I have told you. The Holy Spirit's job is to remind you of the word of God that's already been prophesied and the words of Jesus that were already spoken. The word of God, which is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God convicts. How many ever read the Bible and got convicted? It wasn't just a word you were reading. It's not just any book. It's a book that's alive. I said, it's alive. It's powerful. And not only that, it's the only book that every time you read it, you're in the presence of the author. And the Holy Spirit is there to illuminate it. There's all God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are for you. They're trying to equip you, teach you, train you, lead you, guide you, love you, serve you, all in hopes, not just to get you to heaven, but that you would come together as a church to get everybody we can. How many know we need souls to be our priority? That's Pentecost. I said, that's Pentecost. You can expect the Holy Spirit to impart wisdom, correction, instruction. You can expect him to impress you. Has anybody here ever been impressed by the Holy Spirit? I think we live in a culture today that's hard to be impressed. Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney and Hollywood has so impressed us and mesmerized us that God, the Holy Spirit, and the things of mechanical things in church, I don't even imagine. if it's not laser beamed on the wall, you can't really move anybody. How many know the Holy Spirit still can move you? It's not his problem. It's a receptivity problem. How many thinks the Holy Spirit still speaks? He still moves. He still impresses. He still leads. He still guides. It's God's people who may not be listening or keeping themselves built up in the holy faith, praying the Spirit. He draws us in. He convicts us. Here's the facts. Sin is crouched at the door. And that's just a fact. When Abel was killed by his brother Cain, God the Father spoke to Abel and said, "Hey, son, what you're about to do is not good. Sin is crouched at the door." And how many know Satan is doing that to God's people? If you don't have the power of the Spirit, if you're not empowered, protected, preserved, sealed, are y'all hearing me? You have no protection. You're just vulnerable to all the lies of Satan. And the sin is crouched at the door. I don't know if you're catching this, but you got to expect him to impress you, to reveal to you more of God, more of Jesus, God's plan, God's will. He wants to provide for you. He wants to provide for you. But the truth is, in America, we're spoiled rotten. There was no amen there. Let me just tell you, when you live in prosperous times, it can lead to passive wills. A lot of passivity. Indifference today. An I don't care spirit. You speak in tongues, Pastor, but that's not for me. It's not for me. As if you have an option. That's like saying the Great Commission is not for you. I mean, the Great Commission is that we, the church, would win the world. It's not a suggestion. And Ephesians 5:18 says it's a command. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Not an option. The only option is, the only choice you have is to be filled with your flesh or be filled with your spirit. And look what Romans 8 says. If you walk after the flesh, of the flesh you'll reap destruction. But if you walk after the spirit, is anybody hearing the preacher? If you will take the choice and be walking and being filled with the spirit, walk after the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you seeing that? So it's two options, one choice. We have to fight the flesh to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit wants to indwell you today. He speaks many ways, but it requires a sensitivity and expectation to know his voice and believe and respond in faith. He will lead you, guide you, whisper truth to you, counsel you. Ultimately, he wants to live in you. He wants to live in you. He wants to be with you and in you. And there's a purpose to the indwelling power of God's Spirit. He wants to be in you, not just on you. In the Old Testament, he came upon Samson. Samson shook and he came on him again. I mean, oh, that's not the way God intended. He wanted, that was before Jesus. After Jesus, he sent the Holy Spirit. Now he's in you. All the time. It's not a part-time Pentecostal people. I said, how many is full-time Pentecostal? So the DNA of Christ is imparted to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to live holy, so he placed the Spirit in you. A DNA. A blueprint, a pattern, 9 fruit to make you, mold you, 9 gifts to use you, enable you. Are you feeling this? Are you seeing this? And not just me by myself, but me and you, us. I said Jesus came for me and you. Holy Spirit came for we. We are the church. And so the truth is that passivity leads to overpowering emotions. And overpowering emotions can lead to impure thoughts. And impure thoughts can lead to private sin. And without the Holy Spirit's conviction, compulsion, and counsel, that private sin can lead the church to public consequence and public humility. I've been so humiliated, so have you, at all the high-profile celebrity preachers, down through decades, so high. Who placed them up there? How many know men placed them up there? Somebody had to put them on the pedestal. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit's not here to lift up men. God said, I'll share anything I have with you, but I will not share my glory with you. And so he brings down those who set themselves up. He brings them down. and it's humiliating. Leaders in the church, it's humiliating. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It matters how you live. Shame is a result. And I hope this helps somebody. But we had a little pneumatology lesson today, and I know you're a beautiful Christian, and you have a beautiful family and a beautiful church and a beautiful pastor. I know that. But you need to hear me this morning. You have an ugly devil. If you don't think you need the power of the Holy Spirit, you are mistaken. We have such a need. Sin is crouched at the door, but don't give in. Sin ought not to rule over the child of God. Can somebody say amen to that? We have a helper. We have an advocate. We have a counselor. We have a protector. We have a guide. We have a teacher. We have a paraclete. And if you stay full of the Holy Spirit, He will strengthen you and lead you and convict you and teach you and correct you and cover you and counsel you and convert you and keep you. I believe in the keeping power of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in this, you know, I don't believe in this backsliding overnight business. If you can backslide, how many know you can upslide? I said, if you can walk away from God's presence, you can also walk into God's presence.